Recently, the Surgeon General in the United States of America, Vivek Murthy, addressed what he sees as a loneliness epidemic. Have you heard about this? He says there's a loneliness epidemic in society, saying our epidemic of loneliness and isolation has been an underappreciated public health crisis that has harmed individual and societal health. Loneliness has been proven to cause all kinds of health problems. We know that. And actually shortens life expectancy. And the effect of social isolation and loneliness on mortality is comparable to that of other well-established risk factors such as smoking and obesity and physical inactivity. Isn't that crazy? So the World Health Organization recommends that high quality social connections are essential to our mental and physical health and our well-being. So the question is, I suppose, how do we recognise when loneliness has become a real problem and what can you do to help yourself out of it? Psychologist Alison Keating with the Be Well Clinic and author of The Secret Life of Adults is on the line now and help is at hand. Alison, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Firstly, why as a society should we be so worried about loneliness as and its connection to health, I suppose?
I suppose it's useful to know the impact that it can have, not to kind of depress us, but to kind of engage us and make us realise that it is something really serious. Like, as you mentioned with the cigarettes, they've linked it that it's as bad as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
That is just crazy when you think about it. And they finally recognise it. And we know, I think we've always known that it does play a huge factor on our well-being and the importance of it. But have you seen an increase? Have you seen an increase, you know, coming in for therapy in recent years? People
you know,
saying they're
really
lonely?
Interesting.
Yeah.
So like, I'm now practicing 20 years. So I've seen really interesting things over the years between the recession and the Celtic Tiger. But when we hit COVID, it hit at a completely different level. And what I really noticed, which was really interesting, was the age level dropped down. So say people who were working from home, they weren't in a relationship, and they basically were in the four walls of an apartment, and they mightn't speak to people for days. So that age group, and I mean, we know that it impacts people who are older, and it kind of makes sense sometimes, doesn't it? Because, you know, they might have physical issues, or that makes it harder to get out. A lot of people are actually saying to me as well, the cost of living is having an impact, that they're thinking, well, I can't actually afford to go out for lunch or to meet that friend, or I'd be embarrassed. And I think actually embarrassment in terms of loneliness is something that we should really think about. So back in 2018, England, they appointed the first Minister for Loneliness, Tracy Couch. And that was 2018, which is very interesting. So that was before COVID. Because they were saying, like a study in 2023, they said one in three adults, that's age 50 to 80, and I'd love to see younger ages as well, 34% of them felt isolated from others.
It just seems a bit crazy to think that we're more lonely than ever when we're so well connected.
Well, maybe we're connecting to things that don't actually feed our need. Like, we kind of have a neural drive to be connected with others. We are social animals. And I mean, if there ever was an experiment, a very unethical, awful experiment, I mean, COVID was it in terms yeah. of how incredibly difficult it was. And people recognizing that it's not just the emotional impact of loneliness. Like, if you think about, like, what's the difference between being alone and lonely? Like, being alone is a physical state. So you're actually on your own. Whereas loneliness is an emotional state. So you can feel alone and really disconnected, even though there are lots of people around you. So I think what's interesting about the Minister for Loneliness is what they want to do is start this conversation to reduce the stigma, and conversations like this, whereby people sometimes feel like, well, I couldn't say I feel lonely when I have friends, or I have friends at work, or I have support for my family. I find a lot of parents coming to me saying, I feel so desperately lonely. And it's that comparison piece, yeah. Jennifer, that they're kind of looking and say, you know, other people seem to be kind of sailing through parenthood, and yet they are like, oh my God, I feel like I'm failing miserably.
And is that come back to what you were saying, the embarrassment of it all? People don't want to admit certain
things. The stigma. They don't want to admit. Like you're saying, like, it's like, how can you be lonely in this day and age when we have, you know, so much available to us. But what we're looking at, and it's exactly what you said, it's those high quality relationships. You can be around a lot of people, or you could have friendships that are toxic, or you could be in work environments that really are not good for you. But it's about recognizing what quality relationships, and those quality relationships are where you actually can share, you know, how you feel with the person. You feel like you get each other. You know, there's nothing like that feeling of feeling connected to someone else who kind of understands you. But in terms of, rather than kind of people feeling scared by this or any kind of, oh my God, this is dreadful, another thing to worry about, I think what we have to recognize is if we stand back from it and think, well, what can I actually do about that? And put in a little bit of history, right? So how you were in school, your popularity at school at age 16 has a massive impact on how you actually continue in your adult life to be able to make friendships. So I think of it like the Breakfast Club. Do you remember the Breakfast Club?
Mm-hmm.
And in it, like they say, you know, a brain, a beauty, a jock and a rebel, they go to detention. What happens in secondary school is that you were either accepted, rejected, neglected, or somewhat controversial, so kind of like acting up. At 16, how you were in school, so some people are like, oh, I just make friends really easily. Whereas other people are like, I find it so difficult to make friends. And the problem is, if you, say, experience bullying in school, then you will kind of notice if there's kind of like any negative social cues. So if someone is kind of gives a bit of an eye up or is like, oh, God, the person who's being bullied will notice that and they'll either pull back and they'll avoid going to social situations. Whereas the person who actually got on and felt popular, felt like they belonged, they will initiate. They will go up and say hi to somebody. They will, you know, feel like that they are actually liked and likable. Whereas the person who's experienced rejection before, they have high rejection sensitivity. So they're much more kind of sitting in the background and not actually pushing themselves forward. So in terms of loneliness, it's asking people to do something really tough and that they don't actually want to do. And it's about taking risks to get connection that potentially there could be rejection there. They mightn't accept the person, but I think it's about recognizing that social pain. We're now seeing actually there is a physical element. I mean, they're saying that there's a mortality rate of early death of 26% linked to loneliness.
God.
That's a huge statistic.
Alison,
so I think it's worth pushing.
It is worth pushing. And we can change our patterns, I suspect. Like if
yeah.
you were that quiet, shy kid who wasn't accepted as a 16-year-old, you can change that pattern. And as you said, it can be risky, but it is so worth it with those stats. Absolutely. The World Health Organization recommends that high-quality social connections are essential. What are high-quality social connections? Explain that and how do we get them?
Okay. I think a high quality social connection, it feels good. You come away feeling, you know, sort of grounded or happy, or you've actually had a good laugh together. This is not always so serious. It's not always about deep and meaningful. That is really lovely. But there's a kind of a feeling of warmth
yeah.
that you have, having spent time with someone that you don't feel judged. You feel accepted for who you are. And not that you have to be the same, but there's kind of a sense of social warmth that you actually have. And I suppose the opposite is true when they're not high quality. Some relationships you might feel there's a sense of duty there. A study, there was nearly 300,000 people done this study, and they said that supportive friendship in old age, that was a higher predictor of well-being than actually having strong family connections.
Wow.
I thought that was amazing.
And let's talk about teenagers for a second. Are there different age groups who this seems to affect the most? Are teenagers and young people in particular suffering from loneliness because of online culture, would you see?
I think if you find yourself scrolling a lot and you find yourself being online a lot, you're not going to get the social connection that you get from face to face. You know, they're all, you know, everybody's online and it's not just good or bad, but you've got to ask yourself, am I on it a lot? And what am I actually numbing out from? Because I think as a teenager, you know, part of your job of being a teenager is going out and having new experiences and learning those social skills. Like it's kind of like gaining social capital. That's what you're actually doing. But if you're actually at home, you're never experiencing those friendships. And when I think about like the schoolyard in primary school, sometimes I think that's the most fundamental place in school because you learn how to deal with conflict.
Yes.
You learn you know, what's acceptable behavior and what's not acceptable behavior, and you learn pretty fast. And I just think the what people, I hope, come away from this is that you absolutely can learn. You absolutely can change. It's just about kind of connecting back in with your body and recognizing, do you tense up when you walk towards a group of people? You know, and to really connect back to, why was there bullying there? Do you like yourself? Do you find yourself kind of perceiving everything in a negative way, that you're waiting for the social rejection? You know, when you walk away and go, Jesus, why did they say that? Or what did they mean by that? Or they mustn't like me. If you find yourself doing that, it's really important to do some work to kind of create a relationship with yourself first, to feel more comfortable inside. Because what happens is, when we feel that way, other people do actually feel it off us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it's hard to recognize what's troubling us sometimes, and we can go months, even years, without getting to the root of problems. So what are the signs that loneliness is at the core of what we're feeling?
Okay, I think that's a brilliant question, because everyone knows, you know, well, maybe I'm sitting at home and I'm feeling completely alone, or I'm feeling really deeply lonely, which is a very heavy, I think it's like a feeling you nearly feel right down into your heart and your stomach. But the more subtle ones that I hear people saying to me is, you know, I just feel tired all the time. And they actually might have much more colds. So loneliness, it leads to a weakened immune system. Or you might find yourself buying more, like that getting things is more important. So you're shopping a lot. So you're looking for that kind of joy factor in other areas. And again, as I say, being on social media too much. But one thing that you might actually do, and I only realized this recently looking at research, taking really long hot showers. And I thought, this is amazing. And it's like you're actually craving the warmth.
Oh, wow. That is really interesting. That is really interesting. Just thinking, how long did I spend in the shower this morning? Yeah, it's pretty long. It's pretty long. And we can feel lonely sometimes in our life as well. I mean, I'm sure there's, like, we all go through periods of loneliness. I mean, would I be right in saying that?
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, it's just, as you said, I think the most important thing is to recognize it yourself, rather than buying lots of things, or, you know, finding yourself just scrolling endlessly. It's just to kind of tune back in with yourself and say, look, how am I actually doing? When was the last time I actually initiated, like, made a phone call? When did you make a phone call last to that friend? Or was it just a text message?
Yeah.
And to kind of encourage yourself. And I think it's about building social skills, which we can all do, with the intent that you're looking for a connection. But it's not always going to work out beautifully. Like, that's where I'm saying taking the risk is a really good idea. And finding people that you actually connect with. And sometimes that's just a matter of actually recognizing, well, where do I naturally meet people more? So the amount of times you see people is where you build up that familiarity. So you kind of, like, in building friendships, it takes a while. It's not going to happen overnight. And if you rock up and start saying, you know, oh, hi, you know, at the school gate, I'm really lonely, it's not going to work out very well. So you have to build it up. But I think it's really important to really bring it back. And a little trick I would use is, again, learning how to kind of calm down your nervous system, because if that fear is there, it's very hard to actually have that social connection. So as you are walking up to a group of people, or if you're at a party, or if you're wherever you're at, just take a nice deep breath in and just say, I'm safe. And as you breathe out, I am calm. You're saying this in your head. But you changing how you're feeling at a physiological level will change the ability to kind of connect in with people in an easier, more natural way.
Alison, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was really, really interesting stuff. There we go. That is Alison Keating, and you can find her online. She is with the Be Well Clinic, and we'll be back right after this. I just want to say, if you want to text us about this conversation we're having, you can get a hold of us on 51552. You can also mail me jen@rte.ie. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.